Yes, okay. Now, having asked the kids their question, a question for the adults. If you go out shopping later in the week, you're going to find all the Halloween candy gone and Christmas stuff in its place, right? A question about Christmas. Which is more important, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Don't get good answers here. So how many say Eve? How many say day? Okay. I got it. Ready to start. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to read from my Bible, since the texts aren't in the bulletin. You won't be able to look them up anyway. And my Bible has a little bigger print. So, the first reading, I hope everybody in this church already knows. It's from the book of 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, starting with the 7th verse and reading on to the 12th. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines." Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to do battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Our gospel lesson is short. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, 1st chapter, verses 12 to 15. Jesus has just been in the wilderness, fasting and finally tempted by the devil. Oh, that's part of this, sorry. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. The angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." May God bless to us these readings of His Word. I actually want to give you some backstory to what we just read in 1 Samuel. This happens in a time in their history when the people of Israel and the Philistines were not getting along at all. They were at war with each other. And in the chapters before this, there was a great battle, and Israel lost. They lost so badly that they started asking themselves the question, is God with us or not? A second battle was coming. So the Israelites took the Ark of the Covenant And they went out to battle. And they lost again. Lost so badly that the Philistines captured the Holy Ark of the Covenant, took it home with them, and stored it in their temple. Now, as I read that, I kept thinking, if this was a movie today, Israel would mount a Mission Impossible style attack to slip into the temple and steal the ark. Didn't happen. God took care of it. The next day, when the Philistines walk into their temple, they find the great statue to their false god Dagon lying on its face in the middle of the temple, looking like it's worshiping the Ark of the Covenant. They assume it's just some kind of accident, so they put the statue back up, and then they go about their business for the day. The next morning when they come in, not only has the statue fallen, the head's broken off. The hands are broken off. And all of a sudden, the Philistines start to get really nervous, because what if that means the God of Israel is stronger than their God, even though they've been winning battles? But whatever it is, they don't want that relic of Israelite worship there anymore. So they send it back to Israel. The people of Israel realize that they had gotten so busy with life, they'd forgotten about God. They were doing their own things. They asked Samuel to help them with that. Samuel said, okay, first off, get rid of all your superstitions. Get rid of all your lucky charms. Get rid of all the false idols of your neighbors that you've taken into your house. Throw them all away and let us gather at Mitzpah. Rededicate ourselves to God. So they do. And as they do, the Philistines hear that they're having this service of worship. And wouldn't that be a neat time to ambush Israel? So they get their army together. And they go out and they surround the Israelites at Mitzpah. And the Israelites hear that they're there and realize they came to church. They didn't bring weapons with them. They're not ready for a battle. They ask Samuel, what should they do? And Samuel gives them a very brief answer. Pray. And then Samuel prays. He even sacrifices a lamb. And as he is sacrificing the lamb, the Philistines attack. And God sends this huge roar of thunder. So loud that it doesn't just scare the Philistines. The concussion from it confuses their minds. And they take off running. And they run, and they run, and they run, and they run. Israelites send some soldiers out to make sure they keep running. And then they come back, and as they gather together again, Samuel takes this big rock, puts it in front of them, and says, let this rock be called Ebenezer, which means stone of help, because God is our help. When you look at this stone, remember all the troubles you've been through and how God helped you and how that brought you to this day. If you look back through the Old Testament, you find out most of Israel's holidays have to do with remembering. I mean, just think about Passover, that remembers how the people were slaves in Israel and God wasn't content to leave them there. He heard their prayers and he brought them out. Part of that bringing out was when they came to the Red Sea and had all those armies of Egypt behind them, and God just separated the sea. They crossed through on dry land. And then the sea closed, destroying the armies of Egypt that were coming after them. Most of Israelites' holidays are like that. Remember, you've been in trouble before. God was with you. God will get you through. Always trust in God because He's there. And having said always trust in God, He's there, I want you to think about the New Testament lesson. Jesus comes preaching, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. The traditional understanding of that teaching is God's kingdom is almost ready to come. The time is almost here. I was at a Wekirk conference years ago, and I remember one of the preachers asking, what if we've got that all wrong? What if the time part of that teaching is the time is now fulfilled? What if that the kingdom of God is at hand is meant to be taken literally? There's this old saying, God is in His heaven and everything's right with the world. That's how we most often see God, isn't it? Off there somewhere in heaven, watching down on us and taking care of us from way off there. But what if Jesus, when He says the kingdom of God is at hand, means God is right there, just beyond your fingertips. Can't touch Him, can't see Him, but He's right there. If we get in trouble as a church, God's right here with us. When you leave and go back to your daily lives, if something happens, God's right there, walking beside you. You're never alone. God is always with you. Now, think about that. You are never alone, no matter what happens. God is with you. Now I'm going to stop there at sermon part A, and I have a sermon part B that comes later, which sounds weird, but there's a reason for it. Let us now join together in the hymn, Amazing Grace, number 293. Please stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind but I see. Was grace that put my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? I first believed.
I want you to sit again for a couple minutes. Sermon part B. I want to talk to you about Halloween. Believe it or not, we've let the world define Halloween. It's all about ghosts and goblins and witches and candy, most of all, right? We've lost track of the fact Halloween is the way we've slurred the words All Hallows Eve. Most of you said earlier, Christmas Day is more important than Christmas Eve. And we don't even celebrate All Saints Day anymore. Halloween is the night before All Saints Day. All Saints Day is the day when we remember the saints of the church. And I'm not just talking those people that the Roman Catholic Church elevates. And I'm talking about the saints of your church. The people who made this church what it was. The people who made you the Christians you are. Those are the saints. And on All Saints Day, we celebrate that they are now in God's kingdom, in joy and righteousness. Now, having said that, I want to backtrack a bit. Remember a while ago when I said God's right here? Well, if God's right here, where is God's kingdom? And if God's kingdom's right here, where are all those saints? Let me read to you. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the first two verses. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The great crowd of witnesses. They're watching over us and cheering us on. Those are the saints. maybe the saints of the whole world, but mixed in with them are the saints of this church, watching as we do God's work in the world, cheering us on, encouraging us when it gets too hard. You're not alone in the world. It's not just God is right here, but the saints are gathered around as well. We are in the midst of so many that love us and care for us. Now, in place of the benediction this morning, I want you to stand. I want you to look around at the church and think about all the people that once sat here but are now in the kingdom. The saints of this church. I want you to think about the people who made you who you are today. Maybe your parents, maybe Sunday school teachers, maybe pastors. Maybe just the lady that sat behind you when you came to church and gave you that welcoming smile as you came in. Think about those saints that are most important to you. I want you to close your eyes. And very quietly whisper their names. Oh God, we thank you for the saints of this church, for how they have made us your people. Your family.